We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas David ben Menachem Lulish and L'chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We begin the third parak of Shvius. We're going to speak about fertilizer. The halacha is that we're not permitted to fertilize a field during Shemitah, which is an Isser Derabbanan. And in the days of the Mishnah, people would typically actually take the animal dung, whatever it was that was used for fertilizer, and they couldn't leave it in the barn or in their chatzir or house. It was obviously unhealthy. So people typically were accustomed to allow the dung to accumulate in a heap, garbage heap outside in the field. So, and then when it was time to use the fertilizer, they would spread it out. Of course, there's the concern during the Shemitah that it looks like you're fertilizing your field, but maybe in certain circumstances, that's not what your goal is. It's just to pile everything outside. So that's why there are certain rules that have to be followed, whereas the Mishnah, that's a couple of Mishnahs will discuss, as to how we're able to allow to pile up the dung in the field during the Shemitah year, where we would not violate this rabbinic prohibition. So we're in Perek Yomah Mishnah Aleph. It says Mishnah, Me'em Asai Motzien Zvalim La'ashpatos. From when is a person permitted to remove the dung out of the houses, out of the chatzer, and bring them actually into the field? When is that going to be permitted without it looking like that he's fertilizing the field? So the Mishnah says, Mishayifsiku Ovde Avoda, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that when the workers stop working, meaning when the season for spreading fertilizer is over, so then everybody knows that he's moving the dung out into the field, not for the purposes, of course, of fertilizing the field, and in that way violating Shemitah, one of the prohibitions of Shemitah Midrabanan. So when the workers, the farmers, who maybe have farmers who are violating Shemitah, or you have farmers who are non-Jews. So they could be working. So that's why Mishnah says, Mishi Yifziku of the Avoda. Those who are working in the Shemitah year, even though they shouldn't be, unless they're non-Jews. So whenever they stop working in the fields, they stop spreading fertilizer in their fields. So then it's allowed for the Jew or the observant Jew to remove the dung from his chatzer into the fields. But if they're still spreading fertilizer around, so then you're not permitted to do so. That is the, some say it's not Ovde Avoda, but it's actually Ovre Avera. So then it would clearly be speaking about Jews who are violating Shemitah. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishe Yivash HaMasok. When the fertilizer, we'll translate Masok as a fertilizer, when it dries up. So according to Rabbi Meir, the first opinion, and his point is just to add on, Yushalmi makes the following point, that when you have an irrigated field, that ones that you add on, that you have Beis HaShlachim, they were fertilized all the time. And so if you owned a Beis HaShlachim, an irrigated field, you really could never remove the dung into the field during Shemitah, because that they would fertilize it all the time. So people, there was never that, this Ovde Avoda stopping period never really existed. So, but that's according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, different time that lets you know that the fertilizing season is over when it dries up. What Masok literally means sweet. So according to the Rabbi Tanura and the Rash, they understand it's actually referring to the fertilizer itself, because it actually gives sweetness to what is being produced, to the fruit, and then whatever is growing there. So when the dung becomes dry and it can be removed, So, meaning when the dung that you have inside is dry, then you can bring it to the field. Why is that so? Because if it dries up, then no one's going to think that you're now using this as fertilizer. You're just using it right now, to pile up in the field. So at that moment, at that time period, at that season, it's permitted. A couple of questions on that. And some say actually matok doesn't mean fertilizer at all. It refers to the wild gourd. And it's a certain time period that we're talking about. Is it really sweet? Maybe it's using it's actually not sweet. You're using Lashon Saginor, the opposite, to describe it. Either way, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Whenever this masok, let's assume it's fertilizer, dries up, then you're permitted actually to bring it into the field. And no one will suspect you of actually fertilizing the field. Rabbi Yossi Omer Misha Yikshor. Literally, when it becomes like a knot. According to Rabbi Yossi, another indication, according to him, the fertilizing season is over when the dung becomes thick and very knotty as it dries out. Some say that this is also a reference to the gourd plant that's a wild gourd plant. And either way, it happens to be the fertilizing season happens to fall at the same time that the blossoms of these plants happen to come out. Either way, this is another different measures all coming to teach you the same thing. And in fact, according to the Ushami, these are measures the Mishnah collect, the Gemara assumes they're all probably more or less the same time period. Either way, that's when you're allowed to move, when the dung is moved into the field as storage and is known not for fertilizer purposes, then it is allowed and it's not, you don't violate this Isser Derabbanan of fertilizing the field in Shemitah. We're in Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. Ad kama mezablin. Now we want to know not what season we're permitted to bring the fertilizer for storage out into the field from the chatzer, but how much can I do? Because it may be important to know. People look and say, oh, I see the way these piles are set up. Looks like this person is fertilizing the field. So Mishnah says like this, ad shalosh shalosh ashpatos lebeisa shel eser eser mashpelos shel lesech lesech. Just to translate, then we'll explain. Up to 3 heaps per besa, each one consisting of 10 containers of dung, where each container has a lesech. A lesech is actually half a core, 15 sa. So it means like this. First of all, each besa, which we know is 2,500 square amos of the field, you're allowed to set up to 3 separate heaps of dung. That's so, if you have, let's say 20 besa, you can establish 60 heaps of dung, but they have to be distributed so that no besa has more than 3 of these piles. If you have less than a besa, so you can have 1 heap for every third of a besa. That's in that proportion. And not only that, but each of these ashpatos, each of these heaps, consists of 10 containers of dung, meaning each of the 3 dung heaps have to have the contents of at least 10 containers of dung. Now, there is no minimum number of heaps for each besa. There is a minimum size of what each heap has to be required. So, if we require piles to be very, very low, why is that so? Meaning, why do they have to consist of 10 containers, right? Why does it matter? I have 3 heaps and that should be fine. So once again, there's no minimum number of heaps required for each besa, right? But we do require a minimum amount of, you could have less than 3 heaps in a besa. That's okay. There's a maximum, there's no minimum. But each of the heaps that you have, assuming you have 3 heaps of dung in a besa, each of the heaps has to have 10 containers worth of dung, where, right, each one is a lesech. So each container holding a lesech, and 10 of those. Now, why is that important? Because the larger the piles, the more the Rabbanan see that the heaping of the dung has nothing to do with fertilizing. You wouldn't pile up dung if you plan to fertilize the field. So that's why. And each one has to have a lesech. So each container holds a lesech, and there have to be 10 containers worth in each heap. Therefore, put that all together, each heap actually had 150 sa worth of dung, because it's 15 sa times 10 is 150. Mosifin, the Mishnah continues, al hamash pelos. You're allowed to add on to the containers, as we said, right? You can add on to the number of containers. You can have more than 10 containers full of dung. That's no problem, as we explained. The more the merrier, right? The more you have in each heap, the more it looks like you're not fertilizing your field and you're just storing it outside. But ve'ein mosifin al hamash patos, but you can add to the heaps themselves. So I can add to the containers, but not add to the heaps. That's what the Tanakhama says. Meaning you can add to the number of heaps per besa, as we said, no more than 3 heaps. You can have less, but no more than 3, but each heap can have more than the 10 if you want. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afalash patos. So Shimon disagrees with Tanakhama and says, you can not only increase the amount you have in the containers, which was the mashpelos, but even on the ashpatos, even onto the heaps, it's allowed. As long as the dung is piled in heaps, you can add on to those and make more piles, because it still doesn't at all look like you're fertilizing. No one's going to suspect you doing so, because there's plenty in each pile anyway, so you can add on to the heaps as well.